Hi there, and welcome to Swiss Info's program for August 1st. I'm Veronica Devorin-Byrne.
Hey, unser Land ist wunderbar, doch leider ist nicht allen klar.
Those are the strains of a new campaign music video for the conservative right Swiss People's Party, which hit YouTube this week. A St. Bernard puppy named Willy, after folk hero Wilhelm Tell, prances through mountain scenery under the chorus, "Where there's a Willy, there's a way."
Es ist Natur, wo uns alles zum Leben gibt. Darum passen wir auf und zerstören sie nicht. Drum bin ich natürlich grün-liberal.
And for that music video, put together by the center-right Liberal Greens, one of the party's parliamentarians took 3 hours of singing lessons. Over scenes of green meadows and ducks swimming in ponds, he sings about his and the party's love for nature. Releasing campaign videos on YouTube and hoping they go viral has become a common practice for political parties as they try to reach out to new generations of voters. The under 35 set may watch less TV, listen to less radio, and read fewer newspapers than their parents, but they do look at one thing almost constantly: their smartphones. Here in Switzerland, 90% of youth own a smartphone. But when it comes to voting, the statistics are much lower. Only a third of those 18 to 34 voted in the last parliamentary elections 4 years ago. That's not because today's young people aren't interested in politics, as Michelle Baylor found out. She helped lead a national study of 17-year-olds in Switzerland, with some surprising results.
So one thing that really surprised me was that people were very interested in this study. So we had a very high response rate. We had the fear that it would be difficult to get these young people to respond to the survey, but this was not the case at all. And I think it shows a more interest in politics than actually one would say. And even if you ask people, they would say, "Oh, I'm not so interested in politics," but actually they are interested in the society and what happens. And so this is something that surprised me in a positive way.
Instead, Baylor says, politics has a certain connotation that doesn't always appeal to young people. And it's especially true for young women, as the study showed.
It is related to what politics means to people. It's conflict, it's elections, it's running to be a candidate, and it's careers, and so on. And this political game is something that women are not that interested in. So they are rather interested, and you see this also with female politicians, they are rather interested in the real political work and the decisions and the issues that are debated. And probably sometimes if you ask women, "Are you interested in politics?" they only see the politics dimension and not so much the societal implication.
For the past few months, I've also been trying to understand what issues are important to Switzerland's young people by going on the road. Ahead of national elections in October, I'm traveling across the country with a group of other journalists for a project called Politbox. So far, we've talked to youth about everything from language identity to asylum seekers. Our home on four wheels is a brightly decorated camper van from the 1980s, which takes a few revs of the engine to get going. First stop, Fribourg. Or is it Freiburg? Depends on who you ask, because this city, about 20 kilometers southwest of Bern, is officially bilingual, German and French.
Le marché aux puces, c'est comme un amour.
Poetry slammers performed on the street, in French and later Swiss German. Here, linguistic and cultural identity is an especially hot topic among young people.
French speakers have the extra challenge that it's Swiss German and not German that's spoken in German-speaking Switzerland. So those who do want to learn German are really motivated and maybe also more sensitive to the language issue.
That student, Estelle Seiler, who grew up bilingual in French and German. She's touching on a sensitive political issue in Switzerland. Who should learn what language and when? French speakers generally want French to be taught first in other language regions. But many German speakers argue that English is more useful these days and should be the first language that kids learn. A German speaker named Olivia Mitula also shared his thoughts in Fribourg.
I'm personally not such an English fan, because multilingualism in Switzerland is very important to me. But it is true that English is closer to German and maybe comes easier to German speakers. I have several friends for whom French was very difficult to learn and who disliked French class, so the negative association with French could also come from that experience.
Möglicherweise die negative Assoziation mit dem Französischen auch kommt.
Politbox is also a smartphone app where users can quiz themselves on Swiss issues and share their opinions. A poll done through the app showed that about 84% of French speakers think another Swiss national language should be taught before English. But just 56% of German speakers felt the same way. Next, our bus stop just down the road from Fribourg in Düdingen, a town even most people in Switzerland haven't heard of. But if they have heard of it, it's probably because of a long-standing alternative music festival there, called the Bad Bon Krilby. Picture Woodstock on a much smaller scale. On the road leading to the festival, we stopped young concertgoers to see whether the spirit of protest and political activism that defined the 1960s and 70s is still alive among their generation.
I feel like there are fewer and fewer young people taking to the streets to demonstrate, and I'm not sure that I would go protest. I didn't grow up with that culture in French-speaking Switzerland.
Sure, says this festival-goer, he'd go protest if there were ever a vote or something that he completely didn't agree with. And then some people would mobilize. But he adds that honestly, he probably wouldn't be the one to initiate it. When we asked users of the Politbox app how many of them had taken part in a protest, about 45% said they had. Our road trip continued to Basel, Murten, and Graubünden. Then it was on to Lugano, in Switzerland's Italian-speaking region. 4 hours away from Bern, passing through the densest Alps, it was our furthest trip yet with the bus. With its shared language and proximity to Italy, the Ticino region sees many people crossing the border between Italy and Switzerland every day. Recently, a large influx of asylum seekers has been among them. Most are fleeing conflict in countries like Eritrea and Syria. One politician in Ticino even suggested closing the Swiss border with Italy completely to stop the flood of migrants. About half of the Politbox app users thought that idea was dangerous or not the right solution. Another 26% thought it was necessary or worth a try, and the rest didn't know. But when it came to the issue of taking a refugee into their homes for a longer period of time, as some Swiss have said they're prepared to do, most people responding in the Politbox app said they wouldn't want to. But when we approached young people face-to-face on the streets of Lugano, the response was often different.
I'd
host a refugee, gladly. In my opinion, all the borders should be opened. It's 2015. We speak of globalization, so we must have open possibilities for everyone.
If I were in the same situation, says this young woman, I would want someone to host me. We're all human beings. This young woman said yes, if I had space, I would. But her companion wasn't as convinced. He said it would be strange to live with someone who he didn't know. Our Politbox bus also went to visit another group of young people who don't live in Switzerland, but who could help influence the outcome of October's election nevertheless. They're Swiss living abroad, and they came to see us in Interlaken, near where they're staying at a camp for a few weeks.
My name is Laura Duber. I live in the U.S., but I'm a citizen of the U.S. in Switzerland.
My name's Lamore Johnstone, and I'm from England, and I'm a citizen of England and Switzerland.
My name's Gala Prudent. I'm from the U.S., and I'm a citizen of both the U.S. and Switzerland.
And for each of you, do you identify more as Swiss or more as the country that you currently live in? If you were forced to choose between your two nationalities, which one would you choose and why?
I think that I'm more American than Swiss, just because I've lived in the same place for my whole life, and I don't speak any other languages other than English, so I see myself as more an American, but I wish I saw myself as more Swiss.
And why do you wish that?
I think it's more unique, and I like it more than the U.S. Just, it's more fun. It's my favorite place to go.
I'm sort of the same, like, because I've stayed in England more, like, and I've been there for 16 years. I feel like I'm more English than Swiss, but it would be nice to be Swiss, yeah.
I think I am more American than Swiss, even though I consider my Swiss identity a big part of myself, and I do think about it quite often. But I do know much more about America, and I know that Switzerland must have problems of its own, and I'm more used to American issues, so I guess if I had to choose one, it would be to just fully adopt my American side because I'm more used to it and like dealing with the issues there. So, yeah.
Have you thought at all about voting in Swiss elections in the future? Have you? Do you think you will do it when you turn 18, or are you still sort of not sure?
I'm only 15, so I have a lot of time to start thinking about that. But right now, if you asked me, I wouldn't, just because I feel like I don't know enough to make a decision that big. But if I learned more about Switzerland and Swiss politics, I would really like to vote.
I'm 16, so I have like 2 years, so I'll probably read up more on the politics and things, so I know exactly what I'm voting for and like who I agree with.
I'm 16 as well, so I have 2 years left, and I've actually been thinking about coming here for university, so I feel like I probably would end up voting, but I would definitely need to educate myself more first on what's going on here and what I would want to change or stay the same.
Those Swiss abroad campers were especially looking forward to their 1st of August celebration, Switzerland's National Day. Like every year, the Swiss president recorded a special address for the many citizens of her country living outside its borders. She especially wanted to tell them that their votes make a difference.
I am proud to be the president of the country whose citizens have the most political power and responsibility in the world. Direct democracy is a courageous system, and that is one of the reasons why I like it and why it fascinates me. The results of votes are often very close. The reform of the television and radio law was approved in June by a margin of only 3,000 votes. The Swiss media wrote that the Swiss abroad had made the difference. And yet, many citizens do not bother voting because they think their vote would not make a difference. How wrong this is was shown a few weeks ago by another vote about car park fees in a commune in central Switzerland. There were 1,060 yes votes, and the no votes, 1,061. So in Switzerland, every vote really does count.
That was Swiss President Simonetta Sommaruga making a special address to the Swiss abroad for the 1st of August. I was also a Swiss abroad for most of my life in the United States. And since I can vote in both countries, my inbox, Twitter, and Facebook feeds are being flooded with election news ahead of the Swiss vote in 2015 and the U.S. presidential contest in 2016. On swissinfo.ch, you can read my analysis on what issues really matter to young voters in both countries, and more on how political campaigns are trying to reach them. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Devorin-Byrne. Special thanks to Celia Lutterbacher and our studio technician Ivan Steiner for their help with this episode, as well as to gds.fm for material from the Bad Bonn Kielbi.